Good Wednesday. Today is November the 12th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, a couple of fertilizers are making a critical list by the U.S. Geological Survey, that being phosphate and potash. We're going to take a look at what this list means and why these two fertilizers are so important to agriculture coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, agriculture groups are now praising the Trump administration for including potash and phosphate on the final 2025 list of critical minerals released by the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, the critical minerals list began because the country was heavily reliant on imports of certain minerals, some of which are, quote, at serious risk of sustained and long-term supply chain disruptions. The inclusion of phosphate and potash on the list signal a heightened government policy around the production and supply chains of both these fertilizers. Now, that can include helping companies secure mining permits or other federal support to increase domestic production. The list also plays a role in trade policy, such as whether imports should face duty or exports should be restricted. Now, potash was originally on the list in 2018, but was removed in 2022. Phosphate was also added to the list this year after an aggressive push by agricultural groups and lawmakers. Getting phosphate and potash back on the list is something the industry has been working on since it oddly left in 2022. That, according to Corey Rosenbusch, president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute, a high priority for the Fertilizer Institute has been educating congressional offices, policymakers, media, and the public about how closely phosphate and potash are tied to abundant, nutritious food. These two minerals, where stable supplies are absolutely necessary to fill our plates and feed our communities. Looking at phosphate and potash prices, MAP, which is 52% phosphate, and DAP, which is 42% phosphate, are both priced significantly higher than they were a year ago. That, according to DTN's Fertilizer Index, MAP is $121 a ton higher than it was a year ago, while DAP is $188 a ton higher. Potash is $41 a ton higher compared to last year. By being designated as a critical mineral, producers can access potash and phosphate reserves more quickly. That thanks to streamlined permitting and reduced time and resource requirements for bringing new domestic supply online. That, according to Chris Glenn, that's a spokesperson for the Fertilizer Institute, this translates into a more reliable and timely fertilizer supply for farmers. Also, the designation of a critical mineral helps reduce U.S. reliance on countries such as China and Russia, which are the dominant global exporters of phosphate and potash, the Fertilizer Institute said. Currently, China and Russia control 53% of global phosphate production, with Morocco contributing another 13%. That kind of concentration leaves the global market vulnerable to deliberate supply manipulation or unexpected disruptions. Caleb Ragland, who serves as president of the American Soybean Association, also thanked the administration for taking a step to help address rising production costs. As we look toward the next planting season, soybean farmers are concerned about the increasing cost of farming inputs, including fertilizers, Ragland said. By recognizing phosphate and potash as critical minerals, the U.S. Geological Survey has underscored the importance of a reliable domestic fertilizer supply. While more work remains to strengthen supply chains and reduce costs for farmers, today's announcement is a meaningful step towards greater stability and security for U.S. agriculture. Initially, phosphate was not among the minerals on the draft list back in August. In a letter, 19 senators and 49 House members asked Interior Secretary Doug Burgum to include phosphate. They argued that doing so would help spur more domestic production and improve supply chains. The USGS notice in the Federal Register stated USDA recommended the inclusion of phosphate, citing the importance to food security. Stay tuned, we'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions once again. Pick up where we left off yesterday, actually, in the second segment, visiting with Stephanie Hoff and Rachel Burris, discussing ideas for new farmers that want to add conservation practices to their operation.
Rachel Burris wears many hats. She's a beef farmer, an agriculture advocate, and a conservation coach. On her family's farm near Royalton, she practices rotational grazing and works to help other farmers overcome challenges of starting their own conservation journey. Adding some volatility to agriculture, regardless of if you're in conservation or not. Along with that, you mentioned another barrier to getting involved in new conservation practices on the farm is this perception of risk. Can we talk about the trial and error that conservation requires and the risk that may come with it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of where I think that we can really make farming interesting and fun. And I guess maybe I should caveat the perception of risk. But one thing that I've really done and kind of really been encouraging people is to, you know, be innovative, make farming interesting. It can't all be corn and beans and concrete. I did a small planting of a really diverse kind of cover crop mix that I put in to alleviate soil compaction. It's now coming up sunflowers and turnips and millet, and all my neighbors are loving it and realizing that there's alternative markets to some of this. And so that's just one instance on my farm. But, you know, when you diversify, you kind of add that resilience into your operation and realize that maybe with other crops, there's kind of a higher profit margin, but it also really makes farming fun and interesting when you're doing different things. And with that, I also would advise starting small and just taking maybe a marginal piece of land, crop land, and planting something unique and different and of interest to you on that. The other thing I do on my farm a lot is splitting the field. So maybe, you know, I did a one field working with the neighbors where once they took, actually we drone seeded a cover crop on before they took the corn off. And then with the plan is once they took the corn off, we no-tilled a cover crop mix into that. And so we were able to buffer the risk a little bit by doing it two different ways on the field and just being able to learn and observe. And farming can really be fun and interesting if you let it be.
Agriculture is a science, and so experimenting sounds like the name of the game, especially on your operation. Rachel Burris, along with us, a beef producer. What we heard today, collaboration is key to lasting change. Her advice, start small, stay flexible, and build that network as you work to implement conservation practices on the farm. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
And thanks, Stephanie. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.